Advent, we've been doing a series on Christmas in the movies, and we intentionally have just picked a few of our favorite Christmas films and some of the themes, and really reflect on some of the key themes and what it really means to worship during this Advent season, specifically as we come to this day of celebrating the very birth of Christ. Tonight, we're going to be watching a brief clip from Home Alone. And does this kid remind you of anyone here? Maybe it's just me, but anyways, I won't point him out. Don't want to embarrass him, but tonight, this is a fun film, but the clip really kind of introduces a parent's nightmare, but it raises that question of what happens when we actually forget the child. We think about that truth during the Christmas season all the time, of so much emphasis put on keeping our focus on Christ during the Christmas season. But I think this is a good way of introducing that thought of what if we're so busy that we forget him.
What's the matter? Honey?
I have a terrible feeling.
About what?
That we didn't do something.
Now you feel that way because we left in such a hurry. We took care of everything. Believe me, we did.
Did I turn off the coffee?
No. I did.
Did you lock up?
Yeah.
Did you close the garage?
That's it. I forgot to close the garage. That's it.
No, that's not it.
What else can we be forgetting?
Captain's doing all he can. Your phones are still out of order.
We'll call as soon as we land, Kate. I'm sure everything's okay.
It's horrible. Horrible. Just horrible.
How could we do this? We forgot him.
We didn't forget him. We just miscounted.
What kind of mother am I?
If it makes you feel any better, I forgot my reading glasses.
Anyways, that mother's question there, the how could we do this? We forgot him. I know as a parent, I've had those moments where I was trying to think if I've ever in any way forgot Bryce or Katie anywhere permanently. I don't think so. Okay, they're saying no. I do remember being forgotten by my parents, and not that I remind them of this, but sixth grade, my 1 year I played basketball. If you've seen me play basketball, you understand there was 1 year that I played basketball. I waited, saw everyone leave the junior high, including the custodian. I mean, everyone left, standing waiting for my parents to come, and they didn't come, and they didn't come. An hour and a half later, they come up very apologetically. They both thought the other person was getting me. And so it was only an hour and a half. It wasn't a day like what we see in Home Alone movie. And I got Pizza Hut for the evening as an apology. That moment of forgetting a kid, we can imagine the panic in that. But that idea of that phrase, how could we do this? We forgot him. What I'm finding is that during the Christmas season especially, we can be so busy with the activity. We have school concerts, we've got parties, We've got extra responsibilities at work. We got all these things, all this activity, and much of that activity is even things that we designed to try to enhance our celebration of Christmas. And yet in the busyness, we can actually fail to actually pause and remember why we're actually even celebrating, and really pause to remember and worship Jesus, and pause and not only remember Jesus, but in as we worship him, to be with him, to be in his presence. What I find, though, is that this is not just a Christmas issue. The same busyness that can get a little worse during the Christmas season is the same busyness that can affect us throughout the year. And so as we think about that truth, I want us tonight just to think about not only the Christmas season, but think back over the past year, and as we prepare to enter into a new year, I want to ask you, are you intentional in really remembering Jesus daily? Remembering who he is and remembering all that he has done for you, and having times where we're truly worshiping Jesus in our lives personally, in our families, and in our church, that we really are focused in on him, that we're not only remembering him to worship, but we're also taking time to be in his presence, to spend time with him. The reality is that this Christmas season, we remember the truth of Emmanuel, God with us, is that we're reminded of that truth, that God desires that we be with him. God desires, just in the truth of Emmanuel, God with us, God desires to be with his people. And in sending his son Jesus, he's made the way for us to be in a relationship with God, our creator. And when we put our trust in Jesus, we can enter into a relationship with him, that we experience fellowship. We experience an intimate friendship with Christ. And so tonight, I just want us to think about that truth and remember that truth, that God desires to be with us, and that he desires for us to experience his presence, to walk in relationship with him. And as we reflect on that truth, I just want to encourage you to look at your own life and examine your own life, and maybe set some goals for the coming year to be intentional, to move beyond the obstacles that keep you from really remembering Christ and focusing on him, living in his presence and walking in relationship with him in an intimate way. Matthew, in Matthew 1:23, quotes from Isaiah. He says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. John 1:14 unpacks that and gives us a picture of what that means for God to come in the flesh. John 1 gives us a picture of Jesus. John describes Jesus as the Word that was with God from the beginning, and that the Word becomes flesh. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." That phrase that he came and dwelt among us literally is he tabernacled among us. And the tabernacle was the tent where Israel would worship God. And so maybe a better way of saying that is God pitched his tent to be with us. That's the picture of what God did in sending his Son. His son Jesus coming in the flesh was he pitched his tent to be with his creation, to be with each one of us. We see that theme of God's desire to be with us even in Revelation 21. And this is a picture of the new Jerusalem, the new heaven that we look forward to. Revelation 21 verses 2 through 3, and I think I have 3 on the screen. Says, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God.'" God desires to be with us. He sent his son Jesus to make a way for us to be in relationship with him, for us to experience that intimate friendship with him and to walk in relationship with him. Jesus described that type of a relationship in John 15. And I don't think I have these words on the screen behind me, but he talked about the importance. He used the image of a vine, a vineyard. And that when we connect to Jesus, when we put our hope and our trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross for us, and trust the salvation that he gives us and enter into a relationship with him, when we put our faith in Jesus, we enter into a relationship where our life and all that we experience is derived from our connection to Jesus. As a branch, if it loses its connection to the vine, will die and wither. So that would be in our relationship. If we try to have a relationship with God, or try to walk in relationship with Jesus, and we don't maintain that vital connection to him, we're that branch that would be cut off from the vine. Jesus said in John 15:4, he said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Now, I'm just guessing most of you have not used the word abide or abode in the last week, unless you're trying to be creative. It's not something we use in our regular language, but the word is actually is the focus on where we make our home. It's where we're at home. That abide literally, and I think it's the Message paraphrase that actually even translates it that way, is we make our home in him, and he makes our home in his home in us. It's a picture of intimacy, and it's a picture of the type of closeness that God wants us to have with him. I want to ask you, not only have you come to a place that you understand the Christmas and the Easter message and how those two things go together, because really to understand the Christmas message, you have to skip a few months and really understand the Easter message. That God sent his son, Jesus, to come not only as an infant, the Word become flesh, but he came and he lived a perfect life, and then he went to the cross and died in our place. He took our sin upon himself upon the cross so that we might find forgiveness and that we might be restored into a relationship with God, our Creator. Jesus made the way for us to be in relationship with him. And it's what God wants from us. He doesn't just want us to have just the hope of eternity, to know that when we come to the end of this life that our eternity is secure. He wants us to be in relationship with him. He wants us to be in friendship, in intimate friendship with him. You know, the reality is as we saw on the video, if we go to the next slide, sometimes there are a lot of obstacles that we experience. There are a lot of obstacles that we can experience that prevent us from experiencing that closeness. Can it prevent us from experiencing that intimacy and remember, not just again, remembering Jesus and what he's done, but remembering him and worshiping him, remembering him and spending time with him. One of the more obvious things is if you were to think about what are the things that keep us from being with Jesus, one of those might clearly be seen as sin. 1 John unpacks that theme, that then 1 John goes on and describing the fact that we can't walk in fellowship with God and continue in sin at the same time. And if you, and I encourage you to go back and read that entire chapter of 1 John 1, because he gives us that picture that once we enter a relationship with Jesus, nothing's going to break that relationship. But sin can break the intimacy. Sin can break the fellowship, the closeness with him. And it would be like if one of my kids did something that was hurtful to me, they're still my kid. But if they do something that's extremely hurtful to me, it means that in that moment, the relationship might be soured a little bit. You get it? So it's intimacy. God wants us to be in intimate friendship with him. And so sin is often one of those things that if we continue in sin and don't address those things, it affects how we feel in that close relationship with God that he designed us to experience. But I really want us to focus on the other two, because I think these are the two that our video really highlights as well. And in the same busyness that might make you run through an airport and forget your kid at home, that same busyness can really have an incredible impact on our spiritual life and how well we remember Jesus throughout our year. We can be so, we can fill our schedules, our calendars with so much that we squeeze God out. I think most of you understand that it's important that if you're going to have a nurture relationship with God, that you need to have regular time where you're opening up the Bible, opening up God's Word and reading it. You understand the importance of prayer and spending time with Him. It's like any relationship. If it's going to be closeness in that relationship, there has to be intentionality of time together. And our culture is just always giving us one more thing to do. One more thing to do. One more place to be. And if we're not careful, we can be so busy that we don't take time to be with Him. And along with that, too, is the reality is every time that we fill our schedule with something, we're demonstrating a priority. Because I don't know if you knew this, but we all have the same 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week. We all get the same amount of slots on our calendar. The question is, what are we going to fill it with? And so it's not just an issue of our busyness and making a choice to say, I'm not going to be so busy, and I'm going to make sure I'm putting time in my calendar, time in my day where I'm just spending time with God. But then I'm also understanding that I need to look at what I put in my calendar and look at my priorities. Jesus said when he was talking to teaching the people, he was addressing the issue of anxiety, of having food and having clothing. And it's amazing when I think of this in response, because most of us never really go to a place in our life where we're fearful of not having clothing or food. And yet we're an anxious culture. We worry about a lot of other stuff, even though the food and the clothing is probably taken care of. But Jesus spoke to that issue of anxiety and being worried about caring for those things. And he says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Whatever the things are that are keeping us busy, or whatever the things are that we've put ahead of spending time with Jesus, are misplaced priorities. And I want to encourage you to think in your own life in the coming year and just look back and look forward and say, do I need to rework my calendar and make sure that in the coming year that I'm really pursuing a deeper relationship with Him? Making church a priority. Making time in His Word and prayer a priority. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Revelation 3:20. And some of you know the painting, the classic painting of Jesus standing at the door. I like this. This is a modern picture. Same idea. But Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. And it's like, okay, what's going on here? The reality is these are Jesus' words to people who are already followers of Jesus. What he's inviting them to is fellowship. I mean, we've all experienced that. Some of you are going to experience that tonight or tomorrow. You're going to be sitting around a meal having fellowship with family and friends, because we're designed to eat in a way that is social. And the picture we see in Revelation 3:20 is Jesus knocking on the door of our hearts and our lives. And he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Jesus is inviting us to open up the door of our lives so that we can experience fellowship with him and experience a closeness with him. You know, this picture that's on the screen, even though it's a more modern picture, it's a modern door. Jesus is still not dressed modern, but he's Jesus. You know it's Jesus. But there are some things that are central to this picture that are in the classic painting, if you've seen the painting. If you look, do you see the doorknob? Yeah, there's no doorknob. Because Jesus is not going to open up the door himself. We have to hear his voice and open the door. We have to choose to have fellowship with him. But we also see that Jesus is knocking. He's not just coming in. Jesus is desiring to have time with us. But we have to make the choice to say, I'm going to make sure that I'm regularly opening up the door to Jesus in my heart and my life so that I'm spending time with him. Years ago, I ran across a little book, and some of you probably have copies of it. If you've read it, Robert Munger. I know the Navigators used to distribute this little book a lot. But it's a little book called My Heart, Christ's Home. Anyone ever see that or read that? But the whole book revolved around this verse. And it took the idea of opening up our heart and our lives to Jesus, inviting him in as if our body is a home. Taking that idea literally. And the book walks through the idea of inviting Jesus into the kitchen, into the study and what we have in our minds, into the closets, what we keep secret in our lives. Into our workplace, and it goes through every area of a home to help us illustrate what it means to invite Jesus in. And I want to read a section in closing tonight that gives us a picture of Jesus' desire to just be with us. And this is where, I mean, Jesus has already been invited into the individual's home, into their life, and it's going room by room, and it comes to the place where he's talking about the living room. I normally don't like to read a section this long, but as I read it, I want you to picture this. Picture as if it's your home and you've invited Jesus in. He says, from the dining room, we walked into the living room. The room was intimate and comfortable. I liked it. It had a fireplace, overstuffed chairs, a sofa, and a quiet atmosphere. He said, this is indeed a delightful room. Let us come here often. It is secluded and quiet, and we can have fellowship together. He said, well, as a young Christian, I was thrilled. I couldn't think of anything I'd rather do than have a few minutes with Christ in close companionship. He promised, I will be here early every morning. Meet me here, and we will start the day together. So morning after morning, I would come down to the living room. He would take a book of the Bible from the case. We would open it and read together. He would unfold to me the wonder of God's saving truths. My heart sang as he shared the love and grace that he had towards me. These were wonderful times. However, little by little, under the pressure of many responsibilities, this time began to be shortened. Why, I'm not sure. I thought I was too busy to spend regular time with Christ. This was not intentional, you understand. It just happened that way. Finally, not only was their time shortened, but I began to miss days now and again. Urgent matters would crowd out the quiet times of conversation with Jesus. I remember one morning, rushing downstairs, eager to be on my way, and I passed by the living room and noticed that the door was opened. Looking in, I saw a fire in the fireplace, and Jesus was sitting there. Suddenly, in dismay, I thought to myself, "He is my guest. I invited him into my heart. He has come as my savior and friend, and yet I'm neglecting him." I stopped and turned and hesitantly went in. With downcast glance, I said, "Master, forgive me. Have you been here all these mornings?" "Yes," he said. "I told you I would be here every morning to meet with you. Remember, I love you. I have redeemed you at great cost. I value your friendship. Even if you cannot find the quiet time for your own sake, do it for me." The truth is that Christ desires my companionship, that he wants me to be with him. He waits for me. He has done more to transform my quiet time with God than any other single fact. Don't let Christ wait alone in the living room of your heart, but every day find time when with your Bibles and in prayer, you may be together with him. Tonight, as we close and as we move on to the candle lighting, I'm going to just offer a prayer for us. And wherever you're at in your walk with Jesus, whether you're here tonight and you've never opened that door for the first time, I'm going to pray that God would just be speaking to your heart as you choose to open up that door and to trust his love and his grace and what he did on the cross for you. But I want to pray for each of us that we prioritize that time of just being with Jesus in his presence and picturing that moment where we're just sitting like we would with a friend and being in the Word and being in prayer to spend time with him. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth of your Word. I thank you, Lord, that you desire to be with us. You desire for us to know you and to be known by you. Lord, I thank you that you've provided your Son Jesus, Lord, so that our sins could be forgiven and that when we put our faith and trust in you, Lord, that we can walk in relationship with you. Lord, I just pray that in this coming year, that every one of us would take steps to go deeper in our relationship with you. If there's anyone here tonight that's never opened up the door of their heart and their life to you, Lord, I pray that even tonight or this Christmas season, that they would make the choice to invite you into their heart and their life, to put their trust fully in what you've done on the cross for them. And Lord, invite them into your life to know, so that they might know you and walk in friendship with you. But Lord, I pray that would be the reality for every one of us, that we would just have a greater longing and desire to spend more time with you in this coming year. Lord, help us to be not in a place that we're so busy or that we've filled our lives with so much, Lord, that we would miss our time with you. Lord, we pray that we would just know, even in this coming year, a greater love and a greater sense of your presence in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.